when it comes to coaching, the reason I believe in it wholeheartedly is because of how coaching transformed my own life.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this.
Well, welcome, happy engineers. My name is Daniel Powell, and right off the bat, let's talk about the elephant in the room, shall we? I'm not your normal host. So today's episode is going to be slightly different from the norm, but I have faith that you are going to love it. And with that out of the way, I want to introduce my very special guest, the man of the hour, Zach White. Welcome to your own podcast, Zach.
Daniel, this is amazing. I never expected to be a guest on my own show, which is brilliant. And I'm so excited for the time. Thanks, man.
So obviously, we all know you as the CEO of Awaco and the host and creator of the Happy Engineer Podcast. And I'm your editor. You know, I take care of all the post-production, back-end stuff. Now, I need your opinion about something, man. I think by default, I can reasonably claim the title of your most avid listener because, you know, I came on episode 13. Since then, I've never missed an episode, and I listened to every episode at least twice. So any listeners out there, if anyone wants to contend me for that title of most avid listener, they can knock me off my throne. I'd be happy to let them take it, but I want to know about it.
Honestly, Daniel, I think not only will I gladly give you the crown of most avid listener, but I can safely say you have listened to more of the Happy Engineer Podcast than even I have, because
all right.
There's times when, other than recording the conversation, I barely get back through each episode one time, and you've got at least the full two reps. So no question in my mind that you're the guy. But if anybody out there has ever done a three-peat on an episode, I'd be super curious to hear that.
I'll happily concede the title. You just got to let Zach know so he can give you that title. So as I've edited your show, like, the reason behind this interview today is I hear you talk so much, you know, and you're always playing the gracious host, but I always hear you drop these little Easter eggs of like Zach's experience. And I'm just like, Zach, whoa, wait, rewind. I want to hear about that part of your story that you just alluded to. Talk about that. So I just know that your personal journey has so much insight and wisdom to offer your audience. And I just want to dig into that. And I'm super excited that you've agreed to hop into the hot seat for this episode.
And I'm pumped too. I appreciate that, Daniel. And it is easy for me to forget. Sometimes people want to know about my own journey and experience as an engineering leader and how I got into this seat as a CEO of Awaco and a coach. And it's fun to be unsure where you'll take this conversation today and to be on the receiving end. So I'm really pumped.
I just feel like you have so much clout that you don't brag about, you know? And I want your audience to know like who this guy fully is, because I think it's powerful. So
I appreciate that.
So let's hop right in here. The year is 2013, beginning 2014. These were not fun years of your life, as I understand it. And you wake up one day and you're sitting somewhere where you never thought you'd be. And in fact, it was one of your life's purposes. You vowed you'd never be here, but that was sitting in front of a divorce lawyer. Now, before we go into how you got there, just take me into that moment and just tell me, what did it feel like to be sitting in that room? What was going through your head?
You know, typical boardroom kind of environment. Long table made for at least 12 people. And here it's just me and my attorney. And she was a really gracious woman, but felt really small in that moment for a lot of reasons, not just the environment, but mentally you can just imagine how this conversation begins, right? Here I'm meeting my attorney for the first time. She knows I'm here to get a divorce proceeding started. I have no idea what that means or how this is going to go. And that opening question, you know, it's like, Zach, great to meet you. Tell me what happened. Why do you need a divorce? Honestly, Daniel, it's like, there's never been a more embarrassing question I've ever been asked in my life. It's like the initial response inside is like, I don't know. I honestly don't know how this happened. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to be here, but here I am. And the whole thing was really awkward. Again, she was incredibly gracious. The whole first meeting only took 20 minutes. I mean, it was really quick. And what was business as usual for her was a life-altering, soul-crushing moment for me. And I think that whole dynamic just made it so hard to really get it. I just didn't get it. It's like this is happening before my eyes. I'm watching my life happen. Very kind of surreal.
So take me into, how did you get there? I know it has a bit to do with career and imbalance, but just take me into that.
For me, from the moment I got out of college at Purdue to that moment sitting in front of a divorce attorney, I subconsciously placed the biggest amount of my value and worth in life into the idea of success that I had pictured, which dominantly revolved around career success. Kind of my adult version of my childhood identity around academic success and being told that I was extremely intelligent and extremely smart and blessed in that way, which I feel thankful for that. It's true in many ways, but it also then became this, I don't want to say obsession, but just a primary subconscious focus around, am I living up to this expectation of myself, my parents, my friends and family, the people around me? And that kind of manifested as a desire for career success. And at the same time, this pattern of behavior of put energy into what's working and just do your best to avoid or manage or pretend that things are okay in the areas of life that were not working. So you take these two dynamics that nobody told me anything different. It just kind of was happening. This was life. I didn't see it at the time, but career was going well because I was good at it. And so that was succeeding and it matched this part of my identity and what I wanted to create. So I just kept putting more energy into that. Marriage and some of these other areas of personal life were not going that well. I didn't feel equipped in knowing how to solve those problems, but I was really good at solving engineering problems. And so I just managed that. And in many ways pretended like it was going to be okay when I think anybody could have looked at my marriage, you know, even a year or 2 years in and said, hey, Zach, you've got real problems here. If you don't get intentional about addressing it, that road doesn't lead to happiness and a lifetime of fulfillment in marriage. It would have been obvious. But again, that pattern over time, you know, what begins as just a small little issue, you know, the trajectory shifts negative, but then you don't address it for a year and then 2 years and then 3 years. And over time, Daniel, it gets to be huge problems that eventually you and your spouse look at together and they feel unsolvable and you end up across from a divorce attorney. And none of that
was like every step that you get down that road, it's going to take more time off, right? It's going to take more energy away from your career to fix that problem. So when you're good at engineering,
exactly. Just keep doing what you're good at. The thing that doesn't really reveal itself until now, looking back, is that I was totally kidding myself to think that that area of life that wasn't working was separate from career. My career results were being held back by those areas that were not working. I just didn't see it at the time. You fast forward beyond the divorce and the stories there will show that. But I was kidding myself, man, honestly, just totally subconsciously blind to those things.
So I was thinking through your story and your journey. You know, this thing popped out to me of just how things change once you graduate school. In the academic sphere, it's like the reward for head down hard work it's so clearly rewarded in school. You know, you pass the class in 6 months, you get an A, kind of that compulsive cycle. If you're valedictorian, you know, like,
yes,
if you continue that into your career, I can see that being a problem, you know, just because the rewards are a lot more sporadic and maybe self-fulfilling, you know.
100%. You shift from that finite time frame of the reward to this thing called your career that's going to last for decades. And nobody really helps you understand how to make that transition. They teach you all the skills to do the job in college, but they don't actually teach you how to live as an engineer and as an adult. That's just sort of expected that you're going to figure it out as you go. And some people do, I guess, but most of us run into some real problems in those first few years out of college.
Let's turn the clock back even further. Let's go to 2008. That's a good year for Zach. You graduate Purdue, degree in mechanical engineering, shiny new degree, fancy new job. And he got married on top of that, man, all in the same year. Just take me into that. What did that feel like to be a young buck graduating college these big wins?
It's an interesting thing to look at it in reverse order, because when you already know the ending 5 years later, I'm sitting across from the divorce attorney, it doesn't feel as shiny, but you're right. I mean, 2008, especially summer 2008 for me, I was unstoppable, right? I just finished that ME degree, boiler up. Purdue was a great place to go to school. I loved it and got married to my college sweetheart. Everything felt like it was on track, right? All the expectations of Zach getting the great grades, graduating, becoming an engineer, moving off to St. Joseph, Michigan to take on this leadership development program at Whirlpool Corporation, and great salary, great benefits, great leadership opportunity. It just felt like, yes, you know, this is the track. I'm on the right bus, got on the right train. All the hard work paid off. You know, all those kinds of thoughts were swirling in my mind. And if anything, I was just inflating those expectations of myself even more. This is all coming to me. The next big thing is going to come. It's going to be just the engineer, right? It's a straight line from here, right, to ultimate victory. That's the only thing I could see at the time. You know, what's really fascinating, Daniel, is that 2008, later that year, actually did get sort of stained with some really hard things, because the recession, you know, the Great Recession, as we call it now, started. And I actually experienced a significant layoff at Whirlpool Corporation. Didn't affect me, but many of the people who I'd started working with got laid off. I think it was in October of 2008. And that's funny. I haven't actually thought about this in a long time. There was a really interesting moment as a young engineer. I think it was a Monday, and I was working on a project with a few engineers, but the lead guy's name was Ted. And Ted had been mentoring me and coaching me on some things about how to get stuff done on this project. And I come in, and it's maybe 10 a.m. Monday morning. I'm walking down the hall. I've got a question for Ted. I go to his desk. He's not there. I come back. I'm walking back to my desk, and I see Ted in the hallway. And I walk up to him and just say, "Hey, Ted, morning. Hope you had a good weekend. Quick question for you on the project, blah, blah, blah." Give him the question. Ted just looks at me right in the eye and says something like, "It doesn't matter anyway. Figure it out for yourself. I'm out of here." Totally different kind of Ted than I've ever interacted with. He was the nicest guy, great engineer. He was really gruff with his tone, totally blew me off, and just kept walking. I didn't know what to do. But here's this young engineer, couple months on the job, never had an experience like this interacting with somebody else, especially because it was really a different kind of experience. I already knew Ted. He was a close, you know, colleague and had helped me a lot up to that point. I find out around noon that Ted had actually just walked out of the HR office and had been let go in the riff that had happened. And I was just like, wow, what do I say? What do I do? And he actually texted me the next day and apologized for the reaction, which is completely understandable. I mean, the guy had just lost his job. It was a really weird experience. You know, again, in my mind and in my world, everything was on the up and up. And it was kind of that first moment out of college. It was a couple of months later where I realized life is not a straight line, always easy thing. I wish I'd spent more time learning at that moment. Honestly, I kind of brushed it off and just kept about my business. Like, I'm untouchable because I'm the young new guy, top talent. Nobody's ever going to fire me. And I just kind of kept going. Unfortunately, missed opportunity. If Ted ever hears this, he'll know who he is. He's an amazing guy, great engineer. But, you know, like I mentioned, rather than really leaning into understanding what happened during 2008, 2009 at the time, it almost put more of that untouchable kind of paradigm into the foreground for me. You know, hey, I didn't get laid off because I was the young, cheap, but also top talent engineer. I'll never have to worry about that. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. You know, and so in a way, because it was uncomfortable, because I didn't know how to process it, because I didn't have mentors and coaches and people really supporting me at that time, I just took the values and the worldview that I understood and took what was happening, overlaid it into that model. And it just kind of, you know, it's that self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will, where you just say, oh yeah, okay. So everything that I thought about me was right. I'm just going to keep going. Not to say that I was a low performer or anything like that, but I didn't let it have the effect on my life and career that it could have had, really, especially in service of others. I was still really selfish and silly at the time, to be honest.
Looking back, when do you feel like things got out of balance for you? Maybe they were never in balance.
You know, I think your comment is accurate, that if I'm looking at the data, engineering me, in 2008, 9, 10, that time frame, I don't think that I ever was in full integrity to what I said I cared about, which were things like faith, family, marriage, these areas, but where I actually invested my time, my energy, my focus, my development, my growth, my money, was never in those areas. And so I think the truth is that I was not in balance, but I did not become acutely aware of that until, you know, a couple of years into life, really during grad school at U of M. Graduated in May 2008, worked for a couple of years at Whirlpool, and then went in fall 2010 to Ann Arbor to do my master's in ME at U of M. And during my master's was when all of these imbalances and weaknesses in the other domains of life than career really surfaced. Yeah, I felt the pain of those areas not being healthy during grad school. And it really stretched it even further out because I was so focused on getting my degree and working crazy hours all the time. I mean, in the library till you know, God knows when kind of thing. And so that was the point where it actually became very conscious, like, oh man, I'm in a bad place. And coming back from grad school, moving back to Southwest Michigan, you know, here in St. Joe, Benton Harbor, and going back to work full time and seeking to reestablish a rhythm of normal life, it just never really happened. It took another 2 years and change before it actually collapsed, because I was really good at pretending and putting up appearances and just kind of managing the whole situation. But man, it was taxing, for sure.
So another scene from your life that I just feel like so many people would relate to is this vacation, this family vacation that you went on. Caribbean cruise, you're on vacation, family vacation, surrounded by people you love in the middle of the ocean. And you can't switch off. Can't stop thinking about work.
I imagine a lot of people will relate to this. It's not a good thing, I don't believe, but it's a real thing. And so, yeah, you know, my ex-wife's family loved to do the family cruise thing, and we did it every January. And what's better? than getting on a boat, sailing around the Caribbean, checking out all these amazing islands and hanging out on the water in the sun when it's negative who knows what in Michigan. This ought to be the ultimate getaway, right? Like I said, we did this every year, Daniel. And year over year over year, it started to get more and more difficult for me to actually, now as a coach, I would say be present. I wouldn't have called it that at the time. I didn't maybe understand that language at the time, but I really wasn't there on the boat. My mind, my thoughts, that's a big part of who we are. You know, we have our physical body, but we have our, you know, our thinking, our mind, our soul, you might say. And my soul was elsewhere. My body was in the Caribbean, but my mind and my soul and my spirit was somewhere else. And it had a couple dimensions. One was I had not ever been taught or practiced setting boundaries around where work would consume my time and energy and where it wouldn't. And so it got blurry. I was always thinking about work, always thinking about career, and I didn't practice setting those boundaries so that I could invest in the other areas of my life. And so you get this blurred line. I'm thinking about work all the time with some, if not all, of my energy. So you take that and then you amplify that with the fact that over time, like we just talked about, marriage wasn't great, which strained the relationships with my in-laws and those family members. And the negative hidden parts of my life, and there's probably something to be spoken about this idea of secrecy and keeping that hidden that made it even worse. You know, it's just like cancer in your life. It's so, so brutal. But you take those two things, the fact that I really didn't know how to shut off work and I had never practiced doing that, plus I had this cancer in my life making it really difficult to even want to be there. Here I am sitting on the deck of a cruise ship in what should be the most beautiful, relaxing, recreational, to recreate myself. And I'm getting nothing good from it. My mind is elsewhere. I'm just like, and the saddest part, Daniel, is probably nobody knew that but me. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't ask for help. I did my absolute best to put on my bright, smiling face and just be the nice guy that everybody expected me to be. And what a sad moment, right? It's like you could just copy paste that into basically any of the things happening in my world at the time. And that's basically what was going on. If I was any place other than work, I wasn't fully in that place. My mind was always somewhere else. And just trying to hide and manage and cover up what was not working, which if anybody can relate to that, man, that consumes so much energy to try to keep the bad areas of life secret. Huge mistake.
Why is it so hard for us to let go of work? You'd think that'd be easier, wouldn't it?
There's elements of ingrained human psychology at play. And then there's some cultural and technological elements that are amplifying that in the world of distraction that we live in. But first of all, independent of technology, cell phones, email, constant distraction and interruption in our pockets. Let's set that to the side for the moment. It's easy to blame those things for our inability to unplug. Let's just look at the reality that in our mind, we master the things that we practice. And I don't know very many people who are ever taught and then practice how to bring 100% of your focus into the present moment with whatever is in, you know, if it's a conversation over coffee with a friend, if it's enjoying a romantic dinner with your spouse, if it's playing with your kids, or if it's a big meeting at the office for your career. Nobody taught me, and most of my clients never were taught, how do you actually rally the resources of your mind to 100% focus on the thing that's right in front of you? How do you even get better at that? What does that look like? What does that mean? How do you practice that? You know, I leave the meeting and my mind is focused there. Let's just pretend it's 100%. I'm totally focused on work. And I walk out of that room and I go to lunch with my spouse. Well, where did the switch happen? Like something has to change. I got to come out of the context of the meeting and get into the context of I'm here with my spouse and actually switch. How do you do that? It's so easy to leave half your mind running and racing about the thing you were just talking about for that meeting, because there's unfinished actions you got to take. There's important questions that your mind is seeking to solve. Like, those aren't bad things, Daniel. It's not like you're broken if that's a challenge for you. But what ends up happening if I'm split 50-50, you know, my spouse is getting a fraction of me, work is getting a fraction of me in that time, and nobody wins. Honestly, this is a thing we all deal with because we don't practice and therefore we don't master how to be present. It's almost a web browser. You know, we've got a zillion open tabs. We've got all these open tabs and they're all consuming some of our CPU. And you know, as an engineer, I like to use nerdy examples, but I think this is a simple way to think about it. It's not a perfect model of the human mind, but it helps to make it clear. The more tabs I leave open, the harder it is to put all my focus into the one that's here. And especially when they've all got those stupid little red dots telling me that there's actions unread or undone on each one. And man, you talk about tough. So technology amplifies that effect, but I think it's inherent to the fact that we don't realize your mind is the most powerful tool you have, but it also doesn't train itself. You must intentionally practice and train those things if you want to get good at it. And the rewards are significant. I can tell you from having walked that journey now, man, it's a totally different game when you can go to the Caribbean and turn off these tabs that are not for that moment. It's not that they're not important. They're just not for that time.
I've heard you mention this. Your wife would rather have 10 minutes of your undivided attention than like a 4-hour evening where you're distracted.
Yeah. And, yeah, 100%. I don't know any spouses yet who ultimately disagree with that idea. There's this idea of just being together, quality time, and sometimes there's real value in just being in the same room, even if you're doing two totally different things, right? And I get that. I'm actually that way with my spouse. If I'm going to read a book and my spouse now, for those who don't know, I'm happily remarried. And Johanna, who's not on this interview, she'll probably hear this and love her to death. But there's certain joy that I take from just being in the room with her. But that's not the same as actually being with her. She knows the difference. She feels the difference. And I could tell you, at least in our marriage, man, she's not interested in 4 more hours of me just occupying the same physical space with her. She wants Zach to be in the room. Takes intention, takes focus to do that.
I've heard about this monk who was so tuned in. He was so like present to the moment. People could sit and watch this guy peel potatoes. And just like his connection to the moment was so like tuned in that it was just like, wow, he's like, he's in it, you know? So it would fascinate people, which I can understand.
I'm sure people probably laugh at even just hearing something like that. But I will tell you, if you've never been in the presence of a human who is extraordinary at bringing their full energy and intention into something that is happening in front of you right now, it is a bit gripping. It's not like, you know, a normal conversation that we have in our lives. It's a different experience. Yeah, I could totally see that. If somebody's fully engrossed in peeling potatoes and you've never actually seen somebody so intense.
It's like when a 12-year-old tries to sing the blues, right? And then like the 65-year-old man with a gruff voice sings the blues. There's some experience behind those words usually. You know
That's
what I'm
saying? Right. That's right.
It's like experience on display rather than... Anyway, we'll keep it moving along here. So did you hit a rock bottom with the divorce and everything? Would you call that a rock bottom?
100%. Yeah. The rock bottom phrase, everybody has their... You know, what that means to you. But for me, as a arc across my whole life, that was the bottom moment. Yeah.
So you come out of that and you've described yourself as making the decision to be 100% at home when you're at home, 100% at work when you're at work, undistracted in each location. your career explodes. 5 promotions in 5 years, $70,000 to $170,000. That's just nutty, man. Like, I don't know anybody who on the coattails of such an upset, such a shock to the system, that's made that much progress. This is where I get really curious, because I know that nobody makes that progress in a vacuum. Who supported Zach?
Yeah, who helped you grow? There's a long list, but I'll take the most important ones. So family first. I'd say the most important thing that I did during that time was reinvested in my mom, my sisters, the people who loved me most, who had been there for me the whole time. But during that time of deep secrecy and just dealing with problems, I hid a lot from them, right? So going back to that inner circle and becoming what I call fully known, asking for, in a way, forgiveness for everything I had neglected in that time, and really deeply reconnecting, and their love and support was paramount. But number two, combination of a marriage counselor doing some healing work from how divorce impacted me, and then coaches. And I hired my first coach at that time, just, you know, months later, and really invested into the process of coaching as a catalyst to moving forward. And I could say, hands down, while the healing and the counseling was critical to lay a good foundation, the results that you just described, the promotions, the income, the new life that I was experiencing, no doubt the coaching was the catalyst to that transformation.
I hear some people talk about coaching, and it's just kind of like, I think I'm going to become a coach because I like to help people. But I love that about your story, that like, that's just, it's such a crucial part of your story. And it kind of has expanded to this thing where, like, no, like, I've been invested in this way, and I want to invest in other people in the same way. It's very holistic. It's I think that's part of your appeal, you know?
I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I would not be
back
doing...
to blues. You got that experience. You know, you're speaking with experience.
Right. The music moved me first before I started creating music. Right. And so when it comes to coaching, the reason I believe in it wholeheartedly is first because of what I went through and how coaching transformed my own life. Now, following on with that, how much additional training and study and research and seeing the thousands and thousands of stories of other people who've gone through the, you know, different forms of coaching and had their own transformation enhances that belief. But it began because I lived it for sure.
And as I understand it, you continue to have numerous coaches that speak into your life.
Yes, 100%. And I always will, Daniel. If I'm going to come out into the world and tell people that if you want new results in your career, in your life, in any area, then work with a coach to accelerate and become a catalyst to that transformation, it would be way out of integrity for me to not use that vehicle in my own life. And so I can tell you, I mean, some of my clients, they've never invested in coaching, and to even spend $100 or $1,000 or, wow, you know, $5,000 or $10,000, it feels like a crazy investment to them. I will gladly put every available disposable dollar I have into coaching in my own journey, because I know the reward is 100-fold, and it continues to be. And my wife and I invest 5 figures, if not 6 figures, in coaching every year, because it's just that worth it.
Wow.
And I'll continue to for the rest of my life. I love the process. I enjoy the process. And for me to serve my clients at the highest level, I need to be stretched and challenged and growing at the highest level. That's how I look at that. It's part of my integrity, meaning congruence across all of who I am. If I'm going to say that this matters, then I want to live it in my own life.
That's a good word, man. That's a integrity. It's finally answered this question. It's like, why is Zach so appealing, right? You know, some people, you just look at him, you're like, he's got something different going on than a lot of other people. And that's it. That's integrity. Practicing what you preach and finding your value where you're giving value, you know?
Thanks, man.
So people start noticing changed Zach in the workplace. 5 years, 5 promotions. People are like, that guy, Zach, has changed. And people even start seeking you out, asking you to mentor them. Do you remember the first person that came to you and asked you to mentor them?
The first person. Wow, what a great question. The truth is, no, I don't remember the very first one. But I will talk about one that stands out in the early days was a guy named Tyler. The reason he stands out is because he came with the hunger and the coachable spirit that I now look for in all of my clients. You know, when we go through kind of the onboarding and qualification and are you a good fit for our programs, some of the things that I listen for and look for a person who's ready to really get tremendous results. I mean, I think back to my early conversations with Tyler, and he was that engineer, just bringing this deep desire matched with an open beginner's mind, leaving ego at the door. And it was just a pure pleasure to mentor and work with and coach Tyler, because everything we talked about, he would go off, run wild experiments and do it and take massive action and get results and then come back and say, all right, that worked. What's next? You know, it was so fun to work with him. So that's one of the many that really stands out to me. And then a shout out to Tyler when you hear this. I was starting to become more and more aware of how rewarding those moments were. I would be lying to you if I didn't say I really created an open container for people to come in. I really wanted to do it. I mean, I think at one point I had probably 10 plus mentees at Whirlpool Corp who were wanting to meet with me all the time. I mean, it got to the point where I don't have bandwidth to take on anymore, which was part of what started me thinking about, well, how can I create a way to serve more people in this capacity? Because I really loved it.
So why Awaco? This is a good segue, right? I think that kind of answers the question itself, but let's hear it from the horse's mouth. Just after this unprecedented professional success for 5 years, why would you leave that to start your own company? Why?
So such a good question. And I'm pretty confident, you know, my mom still is asking that question. Why did you quit? You know? I was on an amazing track, and Whirlpool was really good to me. I mean, I loved working there and I had amazing opportunities. And had I stayed, I'm fully confident that trajectory would have continued. I really was loving it and on a great path. But that said, I think what happened was, maybe call it the stars aligned or the collision of fate, whatever you want to say. But there were three things that ended up overlapping, and I had this epiphany moment. The first was my joy and passion and skill around engineering and leadership and corporate success and everything that had happened those last 5 years, like you mentioned, and just feeling like, wow, I have a degree of mastery now on how to build a great career as an engineering leader. Overlap that with this other passion that I had around entrepreneurship. And really for a long time, started in grad school, I had this side hustle mentality. I'd owned businesses on the side. I'd been an investor. I'd been doing a lot, had multiple LLCs that I owned at the time. And I always felt like at some point I would leave the Fortune 500 and want to do something in a startup or, you know, run my own company capacity. So I had this entrepreneurial itch. And then I had this third area of focus in coaching, becoming a coach. And I had done coach training and really invested in that skill. At the onset, it was because I loved it and I know it will help my team at Whirlpool. So I want to become a great coach. Well, you got these three spheres and they all collided in April 2019. And I remember sitting with my best friend at a bar here in town, Dave Kroc, amazing guy. He and I are sitting there talking, and I just looked at Dave. It's like, hey, man, I think I need to quit my job. It's time. I believe that there's a business to be built where engineering leadership, the idea of entrepreneurship and starting something from scratch and coaching can all happen at the same time for me. And I don't have to have these three worlds all separate. I could bring it together and actually put all my energy into one thing. My life purpose statement, which hasn't changed since I did coaching, that original coach worked me through this, as that I'm an oasis along life's journey that gives you courage to walk on. And I just told him right then, I was like, this is my time to start the Oasis of Courage. And I didn't even know that's what the business name would be at the time. It was just kind of like, that's my life purpose. And this is where I want to be. And it was later that I said, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to name the business this, because that's really why I'm here. But yeah, that's what happened, man. These three things just at that moment is like, how did I not see this? You know, it's been forming for 10 years. I just didn't know it. And then boom, in that moment. So I started making plans late that spring and turned in my 2 weeks notice basically on my birthday of 2019. July 19th is my birthday. So it was right around that time, turned in my 2 weeks and said thank you to Whirlpool for an amazing ride. And the Oaco journey began.
Well, as you often say, let's land the plane here. And I got to ask you your trademark question. So in our lives, we progress. The way we progress is by asking new questions that lead us to a new perspective. So in light of everything we've talked about today, what question would you leave our engineers with to reflect on this coming week?
How have you created or allowed what it is that you're experiencing in life right now? How are you complicit in the circumstances of your life? I kept a lot of things secret, and I blamed a lot of things external to myself in that first chapter of my life. The most important thing that I think shifted in my fundamental mindset, this growth mindset that became so important, was realizing that I had been more of the driving force and the creator, or allowing all those negative things into my world, but I didn't want to believe that. So I would challenge listeners, look at your life, the good and the bad, and ask yourself, how have I created or allowed this? What was my role in this? And take ownership, take responsibility, and then take new action.
That's some heavy lifting. And get a friend, get a coach. You can't do that alone. That's heavy duty.
It is, man.
Asking the question, that's where it starts. If people want to reach out to you, what's the best way? You always ask your guests that. Tell them how to hit you.
Oh, what a privilege. I love it. So I would be honored to hear from anyone who wants to reach out to me directly. You know, my email address is Zach, Z-A-C-H, at oasisofcourage.com. And if you already know you want to explore support in your career and life for growth, then just jump out to our website and grab a call with our team. You know, it's careerclaritycall.com. That's a great place to just accelerate the relationship, get on the phone with us. And if it's a fit, then my team will get you on my calendar and we can do some free coaching together. So would be honored to do that with anyone who's listening. And I hope that my story, my journey has been an encouragement to you. And please reach out. Would love to hear from you.
And hey, I just want to add to that. We've been working together for 7 months and, you know, I'm just your contractor, right? But I have absorbed some of that courage by osmosis. So if you're wondering if Zach's the real deal, he's a real deal. Even working with him, you know, you're getting something good out of it.
So, I appreciate that, Daniel. Yeah. You're the man too. For all the listeners, you wouldn't be able to hear this if it weren't for Daniel Powell. So this guy is a rock star.
And one closing thing here that we should mention is we got some question and answer episodes in the works. So if anybody out there has a specific situation that they're dealing with in their career that Zach could offer some insight and experience to, record a voice memo or just send Zach an email. And we'd be happy to, or Zach would be happy to tackle that on the podcast. And there'll be details about that in the debrief right after this. Well, hey, Zach, it's been fantastic talking today. I'm glad you agreed to jump into the hot seat.
Daniel, I loved it. And we'll have to do it again sometime. And I'm really excited about the Q&A format. It's just an opportunity for everybody out there who sends me questions on LinkedIn and everywhere else to get those addressed in a more specific and personal way. And so please send them in. We'll get you the details. And I'm pumped. It's going to be a really fun addition to the podcast.
If you're an engineer and you want to be happier, healthier, and wealthier in your career and life, we would love to talk to you.
In other episodes, I explain a bit more, but all you need to know is that I've carved out a limited number of $500 coaching sessions just for podcast listeners for free to gain extreme clarity on your current career blocks and barriers and to determine your personal action plan. Grab a time while they're still available on careerclaritycall.com. That's in the show notes. Click the big orange button, pick a time to chat for 15 minutes with one of our coaches, and they'll take care of the rest. Let's do this. Wow. All right, my friend, that was fun. I enjoyed being on the other side of the mic. I hope you got a lot of value from hearing more about my story, and happy to share any aspect of my life and journey with you that you're interested in. Anything you're curious about. If it's going to help you to take action and move forward in your career and in your life, I'm an open book. I'd be happy to share. So take advantage of that and feel free to ask questions for these future Q&A episodes around my life, as well as the things that you want to explore and get insight and wisdom, strategies, mindsets, tools around for your own career growth. Speaking of which, let's talk about how you can participate in creating the Happy Engineer podcast going forward. Daniel alluded to it. We've been talking about this in our previous episodes leading up to today, but I would love for you to ask us questions. Give me the topics, the areas that you're stuck or frustrated, anything that you need to know to reach that next level. We want to address those exact questions on the show. So here's what you're going to do. I want you to go visit thehappyengineerpodcast.com. That's the full name of the show, thehappyengineerpodcast.com. And click contact at the top or also in the footer of the website. And there on our contact page, you can send in your question with our online contact form. If you do want to call or email, the information is there as well. Let us know what it is that you're struggling with, what questions you have for me about building your engineering career and balancing your life. So jump out to thehappyengineerpodcast.com, click contact at the top or in the footer, and send us whatever questions you want to see addressed here on the show. It would be an absolute pleasure to make sure that we're getting you the content and the tools and the mindsets that you need. So participate, jump in. Maybe there's things from past episodes that really intrigued you and you'd like us to go deeper on. I know for me, when I listen to a great podcast, almost without exception, there's that moment where the guest or the host start down a particular trail and it gets really interesting and maybe it takes a turn to the left and you just think, oh man, I wish you'd turned right. What if you had turned right? There's something about what you just said I'd love to know more about. Well, here's your chance. If there's been a moment like that where the conversation went a different way or you'd love to pull that thread a little further, please go to the website, shoot us your question, and let's engage. We're going to start dripping in these Q&A episodes from time to time, so give us some great questions to go and answer. All right. Hey. If you had fun with this episode, let me know. Again, feel free to reach out to me anytime. I'd love to hear from you. My direct email is Zach, Z-A-C-H, at oasisofcourage.com, and I'd be more than happy to respond to anything that is on your mind. And if we can help you at Awaco with breaking through in your career, with getting the support, the accountability, you know, the community and the coaching that you need to really take your life and your career to the next level, then by all means, let's set up a call. We would love to support you with that. But more than anything, I just want to make sure that you feel that you're not alone, that you have a community that you can be a part of. And the Happy Engineer, you know, it's more than a podcast. For me, this is about creating the kind of space and the community of leaders who are out there looking to create something better. Get away from this culture of constant pressure and burnout, whether you're right out of college or have been in the world of engineering for decades. Too many times we get treated as cogs in the machine or even see ourselves as just a commodity in this big game that is run by Wall Street or whatever. You know, maybe you don't connect with that, but there's way too many people who do. And this is about helping each and every one of you out there, you know, really get into the heartbeat of the life that you desire that fulfillment, that happiness, but also do some amazing things in the world through engineering and technology. We are so blessed to get to work on such incredible projects for incredible companies, literally changing the world with what we do every day. And the Happy Engineer is about taking that even further to the next level, expanding and growing every step of the way. So keep crushing comfort, create courage, go out to thehappyengineerpodcast.com, shoot us your questions. We can't wait for you to become a participant in this community. I just appreciate you. I love you. I know that you're working hard. I know that you are doing the work, and that is amazing. So I acknowledge you for that. I respect you. I just appreciate that you're here with us, and I can't wait to talk to you soon. Let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the Resource Hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.